Let's come to our God now in prayer and ask for his blessing upon his word. Let's pray. Eternal Father, to you all praise and glory belong. Blessed be your name. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Lord, your will needs to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In all your years of our lives, Lord, you have guided, you have supplied our needs, you have quenched our hunger and thirst, you've healed our souls with your grace, you've heard our prayers as we've come to you with our adoration and worship, as well as our supplications. We are your people. We, Lord, could not be your people if it were not for your grace. Lord, as you claim us with your name. And it's for that reason that we turn to you in prayer, earnestly seeking your face once again. For Lord, without you, we would not live. You are the giver and sustainer of life. You give life and you take it away. And therefore, O Lord, we ask for your blessing to be upon us. That you, Lord, would look upon us with your favor once again. For Lord, we know that if it wasn't for your spirit, we could not know your ways. For the natural man does not receive the things that belong to you, but it's only by your spirit that you give us understanding. And so, Lord, once again, as we turn to your word, help us to understand. Help us, Lord, to grow in faith. Bless this time as we seek, Lord, to worship you through the reading and proclamation of your word, that you would be glorified. And that, Lord, we would be edified as well as grow in our faith. Give us listening ears and concentration in this afternoon hour. We ask this all, O Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, please turn to the back of your Psalter hymnal as we're now up to Lord's Day 50 in the Lord's Prayer. Lord's Day 50. Dealing with the fourth petition. And you'll find that on page 62 at the back of the Psalter hymnal. It says there, what does the fourth request mean? Give us this day our daily bread means, do take care of all our physical needs, so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor our gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. Please also turn with me, if you would, to the Old Testament, once again, to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. So we'll look at this psalm in connection with the fourth petition, especially focusing on the last part of that reading. You'll find that on pages 672 and 73. Psalm 78. Beginning our reading in verse 1, we'll read to verse 31. Hear now God's holy word, a contemplation of Asaph. Give ear, O my God, or give ear, O rather, my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he led them with the cloud, and all the nights with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?" Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, and given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He also rained down meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas. And he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings. So they ate and were well filled, for he gave them their desire. They were not deprived of their craving. But while their food was still in their mouths, the wrath of God came against them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice men of Israel. And that concludes the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May he bless that in our hearing. Well, as we look at the fourth petition this afternoon, we're going to see it in close relation to what we read there in Psalm 78, especially the last part of that reading from verses 17 to verse 31. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is the giver of every blessing which we have. We're richly blessed beyond anything. Most of us are not living day to day. Right now we have enough food to last until tomorrow, and most likely, probably to the end of the month. But what if we didn't? What if we didn't have that? What would it be like? Listen to how one woman tells of her family being almost out of food. She writes, "One broken, often discouraged, single-parent family lived in the suburbs of Philadelphia. As usual, bills accumulated and financial pressure intensified. We had little food and no money to buy groceries. One Friday, while I was home during a lunch break, I did what came easily. I sat on my bed and cried. During my crying and groaning, the phone rang. I'm from the Philadelphia Inquirer Action Line, and I understand that you are in need of a Thanksgiving dinner. We would like to know where you shop, so next Tuesday you can go to the store of your choice and have a gift certificate of $50. We hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. My reaction was joy, relief, and excitement, she writes, plus guilt. I had neglected to trust the Lord who remains faithful. Glancing at the clock, I rushed back to work and straight to a friend's office. Barbara had heard me exclaim many times that Jesus loves us. With great enthusiasm, I told her what happened. She responded with a glint in her eye. "Ginny, I'll do one better than that," she said. "I have a turkey that was given to us in the freezer. I'll bring it to you Monday, and you can spend the extra money on something else." On Tuesday, as we put the groceries away at home, I was reflecting on how faithful God is, even when our trust falters. Then, as I was about to shut the cabinet, the doorbell rang. "Is your mother home?" "We are from the Church of the Open Door. We have brought you your Thanksgiving dinner." With my mouth still open, we watched as they brought in 7 bags of groceries and a 21-pound turkey. We had to clear space for the groceries in the bathroom, linen closet, the laundry room, and under the bed. As we were preparing for bed that night, I received another phone call. Carol, a friend from church. "Ginny," she said excitedly, "John and I have just come from the market and we bought food for Thanksgiving. We want you and the kids to come over, and we won't take no for an answer." We may or may not know what that feels like. But one thing we do know, whether we're in this situation or not, we all have to pray this petition because we all need our daily bread. So let us then consider the fourth petition by looking at Psalm 78, and we'll look at it with 2 points. This is a prayer offered, first of all, not out of complaint for what we don't have, but secondly, out of recognition for everything that we need. So first of all, this is a prayer offered not out of complaint for what we don't have. When Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," he did not expect us to live on dry bread and water. Jesus himself ate fish with his disciples, you may remember. He had a Passover lamb during the Passover before he instituted the Lord's Supper. He changed water to wine. The word bread in this fourth request is meant by Jesus to encompass everything that is necessary to live on. We're asking God to give us what is necessary for our existence. That includes money, clothing, and a roof over our heads. We pray, as the Catechism explains us to, do take care of all our physical needs. It's a prayer asking for God's help, for God to provide for our daily portion. Why bread? Because it is food at the most basic level. Whether it comes as a loaf or a roll or a cracker or a bagel, a crumpet, a rice cake, or a tortilla. Every culture in the world makes some kind of bread. It's a staple of life. And so when we ask God, therefore, we're not asking for extravagance. According to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, in the fourth petition, we pray that of God's free gift, we may receive a competent portion of good things in this life and enjoy his blessings with them. Gregory of Nyssa, who lived in the mid-300 AD, explained it like this. "We are commanded to seek what is necessary for the preservation of the bodily existence by saying to God, 'Give bread, not luxury, nor wealth, nor beautiful purple robes, nor ornaments of gold, nor anything else by which the soul might be drawn away from its divine and worthier care, but bread.'" And so that's what we're praying for. Now, may that may not seem very spiritual. But the thing is, it's not just a prayer that asks for help. It's a prayer that comes from a grateful heart. It must include a grateful heart. Our problem is that we come to God so often with our greeds and not with our needs. When we have everything that we already need, we end up praying for what we want. We can be dissatisfied with what we have, and we always want what? We always want more. It's never enough. That was the problem with the Israelites in the desert, who constantly complained about the manna and yearned for the flesh pots in Egypt. You see this especially in Psalm 78. It's a history lesson here. This is speaking about the days after the Exodus while they were in the wilderness. It's a sermon, really. Psalm 78 is really a sermon on Israel's history. They put God to the test. Notice again the words there, verse 18, it says, they tested God in their hearts by asking for the food of their fancy. They put God to the test. When their food ran short, instead of humbly asking the Lord for food and quietly trusting him, what did they do? They challenged him. When in answer to their cries for water, God struck the rock and water gushed out. Instead of falling before him in joy and gladness, they challenged him to give them meat as well. Verse 20 says, notice the tone of those words. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? What exactly was the problem here? What was wrong? Well, the problem went beyond just the people's expectation of water and food for them, which if they didn't have at all, they wouldn't survive out in the desert. The problem was, first of all, God's people were dissatisfied with what God had done, wanting more. And second, they thought that the reason God did not give them everything they wanted was because he couldn't. In other words, they were ungrateful, and there wasn't any faith. There was unbelief. Those were the two sins, unthankfulness and unbelief. And that was the reason why God was angry with them. Notice what verses 21 and 22 say again. Therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. The songwriter highlights the base nature of those sins by contrasting them with the abundance that God had lavished on them. God wasn't stingy. He wasn't tight-fisted with them. On the contrary, he gave them everything. Just notice how the verses highlight this. Verse 23 says, he commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. Verse 24 says, God rained down manna upon them. This food wasn't poor, miserly fare. No, the psalm writer says they ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He gave them feathered fowl in abundance, like the sand of the sea, causing a wind to blow over them. And you remember how that happened. All these birds basically just fell out of their tents. All they had to do was get out, pick these birds up, prepare them, and basically stuff themselves. They had water from the rock. Not just a trickle. Verse 20 says, behold, look, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. But God was angry. Why? Because of their grumbling and because of their unbelief. They were rebelling against him. And so the text says that he made them sick while the food was still in their mouths. Verse 31 says, the wrath of God came against them and slew the stoutest of them, the strongest of them, and struck down the choice men of Israel. Does that kind of murmuring and complaining sound familiar? Evidently, the more the Lord gives, the less we appreciate it. The more we have, the less thankful we are. Or to put it in this way, the way that the psalmist does, grumbling and unbelief go together. They're like twins. They test God, and they bring on his wrath. That's why for us, you know, as we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper next Sunday, we must examine our hearts to make sure that we don't have a heart of unbelief. We all can grow dissatisfied with what we have. We can want more than what we have been given. We can forget that God is the great provider, and he gives us everything that we need. If you're a grumbler, congregation, have you ever considered the consequences? Have you ever read about Israel whining in the desert and what God did to them? And then examine your own life. What's the difference? What's the difference between the way God dealt with them and what we deserve? That's why this prayer is not just a prayer asking for our daily needs. It's a prayer that must come truly from a grateful heart to God. There are many lessons that this teaches us. For us, bread can never be merely bread. It's a matter of life and death. We must eat to live, not just physically speaking, but spiritually speaking as well. God's people here in the Old Testament had forgotten redemption. They had forgotten what God did on their behalf. Is that something we do? We forget. We'd have to say that we do, because when we sin grievously, or when we forget how good we have it, we're doing exactly the same thing. Derek Kidner says on this point, if redemption is forgotten, faith and love will not last long. James Boyce wrote, if we forget what it cost to redeem us from our sins through Jesus' death, we will not long trust him in life's trials or love him enough to obey him in times of temptation. And so what's the cure to all this? Why is this all being written? Well, Psalm 78 is being written so that we'll remember. The cure is to remember. That's what this psalm is all about. To remember, to learn from the past, to learn from the sins of the forefathers, and not to repeat them. And if we are repeating them, if we are ungrateful, and if we're living in unbelief, then we're called to do what? We're called to repent and to believe. Not just to say the right things and pray the right words, but to act accordingly. And that's why this is a prayer offered, secondly, out of recognition for everything that we need. Because this prayer comes from a grateful heart, it also must come from a heart that sees his or her need. In Lord's Day 50, when we pray the fourth petition, we're acknowledging that God is the source of everything that is good. That's certainly worth thinking about. You know, we eat three meals a day, which consists of that which is grown. Grain, it's grown out in the field. Someone grew that for us. And then someone harvested it. And then someone else took that grain and they ground it. And then someone else took that ground grain, that flour, baked bread. Cattle also were raised for meat. A farmer fed them. A butcher slaughtered them. The tea bag that we have in the cupboard, the tea didn't just get in there automatically. No, it came from a tree. It traveled miles and miles to a place where it was processed and brought onto a store shelf so we could buy it. As one writer put it, can we say that things just happen? If it is so that the sun appeared by chance one day, warming the earth, enabling plants to grow, and allowing people and animals to alike to live? Was the cow's stomach with its four complex compartments designed by chance, producing milk as a mere fortuitous sideline for human consumption? Of course not. People who believe that delude themselves. The Bible is very clear, teaching us something that's so much more amazing, of a God who gives all these things. Psalm 74 says, "Yet God my King is from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth." Psalm 74 says, "You divide the sea by your might. You crush the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. You split open springs and brooks. You dried up ever-flowing streams." That's what happens when we acknowledge that we need God's daily bread when we pray. To acknowledge means to admit something, to confess something. We're admitting readily that God is the source of all good, and we have to praise him every day as he gives us sufficient reason to do this, even when we're given what we need every day. That's what prayer does. For example, when we're in a restaurant and we're about to eat a meal and we have that time of prayer together, or when you're in the lunchroom with other people, you bow your head and you pray. When we give thanks unashamedly for our daily bread, we're witnessing before a world that has forgotten God and turned their back on him. Chuck Colson tells a story of sitting in a coffee shop one time with a fellow worker, a friend. They ordered two cheese omelets. And then he suggested that his companion, whose name was Fred, to ask for the Lord's blessing upon the meal. He writes, "We bowed our heads. As blessings go," he said, "it was a fairly long one. When we raised our heads, the waitress was standing by nearby, omelets in hand. And she said to them, 'Were you guys just praying?' And they said, 'Yeah.' And she said, 'That's really neat that you do that.' She said, 'Are you guys preachers?' And they explained that they were not, and told of their involvement in prison ministry. And she said, 'You know, not many people do that here. I think this is the first time I've seen someone do that here.' And as a consequence of that conversation, following upon their giving of thanks before their meals, the waitress, who turned out to be a Christian, who wandered from her faith, sought the Lord once again." And so we're acknowledging our need. We're recognizing that. But food is not enough. When we pray before we eat, we're also asking for God's blessing. And children, you do that as well. When you pray before a meal, your parents will say to you, "I want you to pray this prayer: 'God bless this food, for Jesus' sake, amen.'" What do you mean when you do that? What are you saying when you do that? Well, the Catechism puts it this way, that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do any good without your what? Without your blessing. We ask God's blessing. Why? Because without it, things aren't going to go well with us. A person can eat, work, go to school, do homework, do his chores around the house without having things go well for him. Someone can live in riches and still be headed down the road to eternal destruction. A person can abuse energy and ruin his life. Because as the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And this way, your body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. And you will see your daily bread as food on your journey to eternal life. And that says something too about our daily work. The Bible encourages us to work hard, but also by relying on the Lord. Daily work is the means that God has ordained to earn our bread, as we say. Proverbs 16, verse 26 says, "The person who labors, labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on." The Bible also says, if a man will not work, that is to say, if he refuses to do so when he can work, then what? Neither can he eat. That's not to say that it has to be our highest motive, but it is something that we shouldn't hate doing. Work and the ability to work itself are part of God's provisions. And that's what we're praying for. We need God's blessing in all that we do. Proverbs 28, verse 19 says, "He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough." Think of the parable that Jesus tells of the rich fool who filled up his barns and boasted, saying, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for you many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." That goes for our young people who are here as well. You're to be busy and industrious in everything. You're called to work. Getting to work, that means getting down to your schoolwork right away. Getting down to your chores around the house. We need God's blessing for those things. That's why we pray. And there are many things that we have learned, that we can learn from this request. The basic meaning is that we pray for our daily bread. Yet, it's important not to oversimplify the prayer by thinking that it refers simply to filling our stomachs, as if it has nothing to do with our spiritual lives. Bread is not just bread. Food is not just food. We eat in order to live. And therefore, the gift of daily bread teaches us to depend on food for life itself, which comes from God. In order to make that clear, remember what happened. The time when Jesus fed the 5,000. John chapter 6. Jesus made that point. They followed him. They were so impressed with his miracle that they wanted to sign up for a permanent meal plan. "Sir," they begged him, "from now on, give us this bread." Well, as you probably remember, Jesus didn't give in to their demands and cries. He knew that there was something much deeper than their empty stomachs. The bread which they ate was just a picture. Just like the manna in the Old Testament, it was a picture of Christ himself. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my drink, or my blood is drink indeed." He was speaking spiritually, of course. He was saying that what he did on the cross, offering his body and blood for our sins, is that food and drink for eternal life. Anyone who wants to live forever with God must eat this bread, just like a hungry man eats his daily food. He must take up Christ in faith and belief. And there are many ways that we do that, congregation. We feed upon him as we study God's word, which is all about our salvation in him. You can't go a day without doing that. You need that. We feed upon Jesus as we have fellowship with him in prayer. Again, you can't go on in life. You can't go on in a day without prayer. And we feed upon him in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Not physically, but spiritually. The physical bread is a spiritual sign of eternal life that Jesus gives to all who trust in him And by God's grace, that's something we're going to be doing next week, by remembering him through the Lord's Supper. What a blessing that's going to be. May the Lord fill us once again. And may we look to him in true faith and in repentance as we long to be fed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.